Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, finn@offbeatoregon.com. And this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is the story of Bobby the Wonder Dog and his 2,500-mile odyssey that put the town of Silverton on the map. Lost in Illinois, the affable collie crossed the Rocky Mountains on foot in the dead of winter, making friends along the way and causing a sensation on his arrival back home. This story was first published on January 2nd of 2011. Here we go. The town of Silverton, nestled at the edge of the foothills of the Cascades east of Salem, has been home to some notable famous personalities, including muckraking cartoonist Homer Davenport and movie star Clark Gable. But this town's most famous scion is probably a dog named Bobby. Bobby was a young Scotch collie mix who lived with the family of Frank and Elizabeth Brazier, owners of a popular Silverton restaurant called the Rio Cafe. In the summer of 1923, Frank and Elizabeth packed up their Overland Red Bird touring car and headed east for a visit to Indiana. And, of course, Bobby came with them, perched proudly atop the pile of luggage in the back seat, or else riding jauntily on a running board. They were almost to their destination when it happened. Frank was gassing up the Red Bird when a pack of local mongrels jumped Bobby. The last Frank saw of Bobby that day, he was running for his life with three snarling curs in hot pursuit. At the time, Frank wasn't worried. Bobby, he thought, could take care of himself. He'd be waiting back at the house where the Braziers were staying. But he wasn't. The Braziers started searching. They called around town. They advertised in the local newspaper. They did some driving around. Still, no Bobby. So, leaving instructions to hang on to him if he reappeared, they continued on their trip. They'd pick him up on the way back home, they figured. They figured wrong. Bobby still wasn't around on their return. So, regretfully, the Braziers continued on their way, leaving instructions to send him home on a rail car at their expense should he turn up, hoping for the best but expecting the worst. Exactly 6 months later, one of Elizabeth Brazier's daughters from a previous marriage, Nova Baumgarten, was walking down a Silverton street with a friend when she suddenly seized the other girl's arm. "Look, isn't that Bobby?" she said, or words to that effect. Sure enough, it was Bobby, sore of foot, matted of coat, his toenails worn down to nothing. Bobby had logged more than 2,500 miles and probably well over 3,000, swimming rivers and crossing the Continental Divide in the dead of winter to get back home to Silverton. Nova brought Bobby back to the Rio for a joyful reunion with her mother and stepfather and a luxurious meal of sirloin steak and whipping cream. The place was packed with mill workers, including possibly Clark Gable, who at the time had not yet been discovered and was working a shift at a Silverton sawmill, and it was a matter of minutes before word of Bobby's amazing journey was on everyone's lips all over town. Within a week, the story was making national headlines. Friendly people with whom Bobby had stayed for a night or two on his journey rode in to tell their stories. Putting all of this together, the Humane Society of Portland was able to piece together a surprisingly precise account of the route Bobby took. After coming back to Wolcott and finding the Braziers gone, Bobby first followed them northeast, further into Indiana. Then he started striking out on what must have been exploratory journeys in various directions, perhaps trying to pick up a familiar scent to give him a sense of the direction to take. Eventually, he found what he was looking for and struck out for the West Coast. On their trip, the Braziers had left their car in service stations each night. Bobby visited each of these on the way, along with a number of private homes. He also spent some time in a hobo camp. In Portland, he stayed for some time with an Irish woman who nursed him back to health after some sort of accident left his legs and paws gashed up. As a side note, this injury is probably the source of the allegation that Bobby's paws were, quote, worn down to the bone on his return. This is a physiologically impossible claim, and it is not made in any of the 1924 newspaper articles and accounts that I found, but it is prominent in most modern accounts. About 2 weeks later, Bobby was back in Silverton. After the joyful reunion, the collie's life got a lot more exciting. The Humane Society gave him a medal and a sober celebration in Portland. Silverton gave him the key to the city along with special permission to walk its streets free from fear of the municipal dog catcher. Correspondents poured in, addressed to Bobby the Wonder Dog. He was honored as the star of the Home Beautifying Exposition in Portland just a few months after his return, and a miniature bungalow was built to serve as his doghouse. Alas, Bobby had not much time to enjoy these perks. He died in 1927 after getting sick. Doctors suggested it was the strain of his journey catching up with him, although this seems a bit unlikely to have taken him down 5 years later. He was buried at the Humane Society's Pet Cemetery in Portland. Rin Tin Tin, the first movie star dog of that name, was actually coached to place a wreath on his grave. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to the podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, a couple other minor components too. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon History for fun and to learn things, so I don't jeopardize that by selling advertising or asking for donations. However, if you enjoy Offbeat Oregon History and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy this show, I can pretty much guarantee you'll enjoy the book. It's called Wicked Portland. It was published by the History Press in 2012, and they're available at community bookstores, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. Sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.